Our gospel lesson today is Mark 10, verses 35 to 45. Hear this word of the Lord for you today. James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came forward to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said, "What is it that you want me to do for you?" And they said, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." But Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you're asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with?" They replied, "We are able." Then Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink. And with the baptism with which I'm baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." When the 10 disciples heard this, they began to be angry with James and John. So Jesus called them and said to them, "You know that among the Gentiles, those whom they recognize as their rulers lord it over them, and their great ones are tyrants over them. But it is not so among you. Whoever wishes to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all. For the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, upon the meditations of my mouth and of our hearts. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we are not that different from James and John, you know? It's easy to say we are, that we'd be like the other 10 disciples, but truth be told, James and John were probably just saying out loud what all 12 had been thinking. We are like that, so often addicted to competition and trying to be first, trying to be great. All we have to do is look at TV or the web, and we see all kinds of people who are trying to be famous, powerful, rich, and number one. We make lists about great people, right? There's Time's Person of the Year, Forbes Celebrity 100, Business Insider's A-List, ESPN's World Fame 100 list, Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, full of people trying to make a name for themselves. And even if you don't want to be rich and famous, do you ever long just for success or strive for perfection? Isn't that a kind of greatness that many of us seek? I know I've struggled with perfectionism. In school, I wanted to prove myself by making straight A's and being involved in lots of activities. This was how I tried to find significance. I still struggle with this desire to do better all the time. Can you relate? But Jesus says that seeking success is not the goal of life. We are not called to be great. We are called to be servants. Earlier in the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, Jesus says we should deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Which sounds a little crazy when you think about it as humans. Because who wants to be a follower? Who wants to deny themselves? Who wants to take up a cross of suffering and sacrifice instead of success? But that is Jesus' call for us. In fact, each time Jesus tells his disciples he's going to suffer and die, he also says something about our call to serve. In chapter 9, after talking about his death a second time, the disciples start arguing about who is the greatest. And Jesus says, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then here in chapter 10, Jesus talks about his death again, and James and John approach him seeking a place of honor in his kingdom. It's like they don't get it. So he says again, "Whoever wishes to be first among you must be slave of all." See, they thought they were following a Messiah of power and prominence because he was the Son of God. So it would have been natural for them to want a place of prominence for themselves because they were his disciples. But Jesus keeps telling them they are missing the point. In fact, all throughout the Gospel of Mark, the disciples misunderstand who Jesus is and what he's come to do. As Jesus is modeling and encouraging service and humility and sacrifice, they keep talking about who is the greatest and how they can secure their own power. But Jesus doesn't scold them. He just keeps saying, Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Last. Servant. These are strange words when we think about it, because our world is built on striving to be best, first, powerful, not last, or a servant. The world says, do whatever you need to be the best. So how on earth can we embrace Jesus' call to be servants? And what is the connection between suffering and service? Because Jesus always mentions suffering before our call to servanthood. A friend recommended a great book to me called Kitchen Table Wisdom by Dr. Rachel Naomi Remen. Remen is an oncologist who writes about the spiritual journeys of herself and her patients, and Remen herself has some serious health struggles. She writes about sitting next to a man on a flight whose lunch has fallen onto the floor on his shoe. But he doesn't bend down to clean it up. In fact, he doesn't even seem to notice, which is when she notices a brace on his leg. So she gets a wet towel from an attendant and slowly starts to clean up his shoe and the floor around him, and they strike up a conversation. She learns that he has just suffered a stroke affecting his left side and the feeling in both his arms from fingers to elbows, but he was determined to fly out and visit his son. He tells her he used to play violin before his stroke, but now he's partially paralyzed and barely able to care for himself. He thanks her, as does the flight staff, who had rudely told her they didn't have time to help this man. She writes, "Suffering is one of the universal conditions of being alive. We have become terribly vulnerable, not because we suffer, but because we have separated ourselves from each other. A patient once told me he tried to ignore his own suffering and the suffering of other people because he wanted to be happy. Yet becoming numb to suffering will not make us happy. The part in us that feels suffering is the same part that feels joy." I love that. The part that feels suffering is the part that feels joy. Jesus knows that. Jesus calls us to this better life of service and joy, which is also the path of suffering and sacrifice. Which brings us to that acronym, J-O-Y, joy. Do you believe that our priorities are in that word? Jesus first, then others, then yourself? According to Jesus, that's how we find true significance, real fulfillment, and joy. Putting Jesus first is really trying to just follow in his footsteps of servanthood, because he is the Savior who washed his disciples' feet. He is the one that went to death on the cross all out of love, sacrifice, and service. He says so himself. He says the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Philippians 2, 1-11 puts it so well. It says, "Make my joy complete, be of the same mind, having the same love. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross." Jesus is the ultimate example of how to put God first, then others. That's the second letter of joy, others. When we put others first, it's not about never thinking of yourself. It's about a love for others, especially the least of these, which is an important distinction, because sometimes these words have been wrongly used to say you shouldn't stand up for yourself or care at all about yourself, which strangely can become its own kind of power. But what if in looking out for the least of these, we actually find ourselves? Jesus had a special love for the least and the little. This is why Jesus took a little child and said, "Whoever welcomes a child in my name welcomes me." That was revolutionary because in Jesus' day, children were non-persons. They were just property, useful for their work, not to be seen or heard. Why would Jesus so love the least and the little? Well, what if he's trying to get us to reimagine greatness? We think of the powerful, the rich, the influential, but Jesus talks about the tiny sparrow, the repentant sinner, the sick, the leper, the demon-possessed, the outcast, the women, the tax collectors, the prostitutes, the children. In fact, Jesus himself came into this world as a little child, a poor baby born in a manger. What's so hard is that we're almost hardwired to want to be first, not last. We want people to serve us, not the other way around. We even want this for our kids, our families, even our churches. But Jesus shows us that the way of true greatness is service, sacrifice, and humility. It's putting others first. I was reading a sermon by Dan Meyer and preaching today entitled Looking Otherward. Otherward people, he says, have a few key characteristics. The first is outgoing, which is not about being an extrovert. It's about being someone who builds relationships. The second characteristic is about being a treasure seeker, looking for the good and the gifts in others, which is so important for ministry. We shouldn't do everything ourselves because then we're keeping other people from using their gifts. If I'm doing my job right in ministry, I'm not doing everything. I'm encouraging and empower others to use their gifts in service and ministry. A third characteristic of an otherward person is being hospitable. Are we welcoming others, especially the least and the little? A fourth trait is empathy. Empathy is so lacking in our world today, but Jesus models it for us. He met people in their pain and had compassion for them. Empathy is not pity. It's about being with others in their suffering, standing alongside them, stepping into their shoes, not feeling sorry for them. There's a story of a child who was late coming home for dinner, and she told her dad she'd met another kid who dropped the milk on his way home from the store. "So you stayed to help him clean it up?" asked the dad. "No," she said. "I stayed to help him cry till he got the courage to go home." Empathy. Empathy's Dr. Remen cleaning that man's shoe as they talked. This trait might be the most important one. But how do we cultivate empathy? We really have to look to Jesus. And when Jesus teaches about servanthood and sacrifice. Because empathy comes through adversity. Empathy comes through suffering. When we've walked through hard times, we are able to walk with others through their hard times. Empathy is key to loving our neighbors and putting others first. A fifth otherward trait is resourcefulness, which means connecting people with the resources they need in life. And finally, otherward people are self-sacrificing. If we are willing to follow Jesus, we must sacrifice what we want for what Jesus wants in our lives. None of putting others first comes naturally. A servant's heart is not what we've been born with. It's only possible to become a true servant if we allow the Holy Spirit to work on us, right? The question is, will we allow the Spirit to expand our hearts in this way? That final letter of joy is also important. Jesus said that the greatest commandment was to love God and your neighbor as yourself. So we must love ourselves, and that comes from knowing how much God loves us. But what if we learn even this from serving and loving others? Have you ever found yourself to be blessed while giving to someone else? What if when we reach out to others, we find not only joy, but also how to love ourselves? What if the key to loving ourselves is found in loving Christ and one another? Friends, we have some really great news today. We are called to be last, to be servants, but in doing this, we find abundant life and joy. May we all allow the Holy Spirit to work on our hearts. And for this gift, all God's people can say together, Amen.